I'm Marty Moscoen. Welcome to Radio Times. It's been 35 days since the start of the fiscal year, and Pennsylvania still doesn't have a budget. Republicans who control the legislature do not like Governor Wolf's budget. It includes a severance tax on natural gas extraction with money to be used for education funding, also a reduction in property taxes with an increase in sales and income tax. Governor Wolf vetoed the entire budget passed by the General Assembly that included liquor store privatization and changes to public pensions. We asked John Micek to talk us through this impasse, and he's editor of the editorial and opinion pages for the Patriot News and for Penn Live. And we often ask John to do this for us. And John, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Marty, good morning.
So how far apart are the two sides on this impasse?
They will tell you that they're still they're gaining ground, but they're still pretty darn far apart. I mean, when it comes to the fundamentals, namely Governor Wolf's tax increases, Republicans don't want them. And when it comes to stuff Republicans want, like a change in the way pension benefits are calculated for new state employees, the Wolf administration doesn't want those either. They're making sort of progress on the margins, but when it comes to the fundamentals, they're still far apart.
Are they meeting? Are there actual sit-downs with the governor and his counterparts in the legislature?
Yeah, they're meeting. I mean, they met for Governor Wolf met with Majority Leader Dave Reed and Senate President Pro Tem Joe Scarnati for 35 whole minutes on Monday, and they emerged, still parroting the same lines about being far apart. The governor met with Majority Leader Jake Corman and Mr. Reed down in York last week. So, I mean, they're still conversations, but as I've written and observed, and what's remarkable about this is the seeming lack of urgency. I think back to past budget impasses where you couldn't turn around without running into some lawmaker hustling out of some office someplace in the Capitol, and there's just not that same kind of franticness this time around.
Why do you think that is, John?
I think it's for a number of reasons. I mean, For one of the major pressure points, and that's the furloughing and lack of payment for state employees, is off the table now thanks to a 2008 or 2009 court decision that says that state employees who turn up for work have to be paid, eventually, as soon as there's money. So that's like one big pressure point that's now off the table. Nonprofits who rely on the state for money are starting to feel the pinch, but it hasn't gotten the crisis point yet. Similarly, school districts who rely on the state for money are sitting on big reserves, and as a consequence, aren't quite feeling the pinch yet either. But we have some school districts here in central Pennsylvania, like the Lancaster City School District, who says, for instance, that if it gets into October, that's when things are going to start getting painful. So as we sit here at the beginning of August, three traditional pressure points just aren't there like they used to be.
As you look into your crystal ball, could we be in October or sometime even later in the fall to come to some kind of agreement?
That very word, October, was floated to me this morning, sending a shiver down my spine. Hopefully they'll get it together by then. You don't want the leaves coming off the trees and them still talking about this.
And how much money are we talking about? And how far apart are the two sides when it comes to actual dollars and cents?
That's about $4 billion. Governor Wolf sent over a $33.8 billion budget proposal back in the beginning of March. On June 30th, Republicans sent over to him a $30.2 billion budget proposal. So give or take, about $4 billion.
And it seems the fight is over education funding and, I guess, how to get money to fund schools in Pennsylvania and higher education as well.
Yeah, that is one of the core issues here. And the governor, for the last 5 weeks since he vetoed the entire – we should add, by the way, this is the first time a sitting governor has vetoed an entire budget since the Schapp administration back in the 1970s. He's been touring school district to school district to plead the case for his education initiatives. And just on Monday, he said, he's not going to back down on this because he believes the people of Pennsylvania elected him to, quote unquote, invest in public education. Everyone thinks more money for public schools is a good idea. The Republicans included slightly less in their proposal than the administration was seeking. And how to pay for it, of course, becomes another gigantic question. And we can talk about that, too.
In fact, I do want to talk about that because the governor has basically banked on a severance tax. We don't have that on natural gas drilling in Pennsylvania, believing there's something like $1 billion there. As you understand it, John, do those numbers line up?
Well, that $1 billion is kind of closer to about $700 million now because it's predicated on the price of natural gas, which is low right now. And You know, the one thing we should probably clarify is that only a portion of the severance tax revenue, about 150 something million, in the first year would be earmarked for education funding, because the administration is also splitting that with infrastructure and environmental spending. You know, the rest, a lot of the money also would come from an increase in the state sales tax from the current 6% in most parts of Pennsylvania to 6.6%. It's like a 20% increase, I think, and an increase in the state income tax, which is now 3.07%. And, you know, Republicans are saying they're willing to talk about new revenues, but they're not willing to talk about that until the administration gets serious on pension reform, which is another huge cost driver. They argue that by reducing pension costs, which are driving out tax increases in every single local school district, that in turn will free up more money for public education, too.
And the governor also wants to reduce property taxes, I guess, to kind of offset an increase in sales and income tax.
That's correct. But, you know, the Republicans argue, well, that's all well and good, but that doesn't offer any future protection about property tax, local property taxes creeping back up in local school districts. And they are correct on that point.
I wonder, too, and there is I don't know how unusual this is, because I've seen some ads on television from both sides, frankly, criticizing the other side. How unusual is that, John?
I mean, that's actually pretty amazing. A labor-funded wing of the Democratic Governors Association has dropped something like $700,000 on direct mail campaigns and television commercials in a statewide ad buy, which is amazing, because you rarely ever see a third-party issue group like that coming in to agitate on behalf of what's really a very state-level state-level issue. You have the governor's own political action committee that's doing its own work. On the Republican side of the ledger, you have the Koch brothers funded Americans for Prosperity, who are doing a web ad campaign. The Pennsylvania Chamber of Business Industry is doing an ad campaign on severance tax. So you have interest groups involved and invested in this budget stalemate in a way that we've really not seen in years past.
Well, it feels like we're in a campaign season again, or even still.
That never ended. In fact, if you ask Republicans that, they will grouse about that very thing, saying that the governor is still behaving as if he's running for office. I mean, but you know, this is what the administration is doing is not a heck of a lot different from what the Obama administration has been doing for the last, you know, 6 or 7 years with Organizing for America, the independent lobbying wing that they have to help advance the White House's policy goals. So it's a page right out of the Obama playbook.
And that's John Micek, editor of the editorial and opinion pages for the Patriot News and for Penn Live, someone we often call up to help us understand Pennsylvania politics. And there is currently a standoff, an impasse when it comes to the budget for the state. More than a month has passed since the beginning of the fiscal year. We have some tweets coming in at WHYY Radio Times. You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. If you have any ideas about how to end this impasse. In fact, a tweet from Jay says, let's switch to 401ks and raise the drilling fee. This is obviously, John, looking for some middle ground that both sides could agree on. Do you think it could be or will be something like that?
I mean, you know, there's going to have to be some give here, and pensions could be one place where that happens. You know, the listener says the 401ks, and that's in fact what that Senate Republican, it was in the Senate Republican bill, they wanted to switch new hires into a 401k style retirement plan familiar to any cubicle dweller. And you know, Jake Corman, the Senate Majority Leader, last year did not rule out the possibility of a severance tax, and they're not saying no to it now. But you know, but they have this other stuff they want the administration to do. They're pretty firm on this line about no new revenues before they talk about pensions. You know, because they argue they'll get about $170 million a year, not this year, but in $170 million to $200 million a year in pension savings in the out years from this kind of change. So, yeah, that's that. I mean, so giving a little bit on severance and giving a little bit on pensions, that might get us there. Similarly, you know, talking about some changes to Pennsylvania's state-owned liquor monopoly. Republicans want to go full privatization. The Wolf administration does not. They're talking about what's known as modernization, which basically means wine at Wegmans for the vast majority of people, and direct shipment of wine to your houses. I've long been convinced that most Pennsylvanians really don't care who controls the distribution network, as long as they don't have to make more than two trips when they're trying to get their Sunday dinners together. So there might be some middle ground there, too.
Well, how many years have we been talking about privatizing liquor sales in Pennsylvania?
I don't know what's today. it goes on. I mean, you know, for the purposes of history, I mean, again, we're back to Milton Schaub, who took the first run in this in like 1972 when I was 2 years old. And then Dick Thornburgh took a whack at it. Tom Ridge did. Tom Corbett, who had Republican majorities, took a run at it and didn't get it. But now it's landed in Governor Wolf's lap. And here we are. So what, 40 years we've been talking about this at least?
Well, it sure feels that way. I mean, is there bad blood between the two sides, or is this just what happens in negotiations, which is a lot of pushing back and forth, a lot of finger pointing, but at some point you find some middle ground?
Republican leaders are giving Wolf credit for at least, you know, making that early outreach. We all read those stories. I think I wrote them about, you know, the governor dropping in unexpectedly on Republican lawmakers for tea and crumpets to talk and say hi. So, they value that outreach. I mean, I don't think anybody thinks anybody's like a fundamentally evil person or a bad person. It's just that this is kind of what happens. Tempers get high. Tensions flare. People say stuff and then they go off and they have a good cry and they come back and then they start talking again. It's sort of that ebb and flow of the budget season.
Is there a middle person, someone who is a negotiator, a go-between between these two sides?
I'm imagining somebody like, you know, a Richelieu like figure darting back and forth between the competing factions at court or something like that. But
yeah.
I mean, to the extent that there's a diplomat in this process, I'll tag the new House Majority Leader Dave Reed, who took office at the beginning of this year. And this is a guy who came to town in the wake of the 2006-2005 pay raise in the 2006 election. Very ideological, very, very conservative, and in the 10 years since has emerged as a real pragmatist. So, I mean, if there's a guy who has the ability, to cut a deal on behalf of Republicans, Majority Leader Reid, is probably that guy.
So what's it like in Harrisburg the last couple of days or weeks?
Quiet and hot. With an emphasis on quiet. There's not a heck of a lot going on. As I noted the other day, the Capitol's kind of like a middle school in August right now. I mean, you know, the staff are in there and they're doing their thing, and the administration are in there and they're doing their thing. But you know, there's none of the pitchfork wielding crowd who would be there protesting things as they might be during session weeks. This is a budget stalemate that's notable for its lack of sound and fury.
Well, John Micek, I always appreciate you joining us today on Radio Times, including today. Thanks so much.
Hey, Marty, anytime.
And we do call you up a lot of times. So John Micek, editor of the editorial and opinion pages for the Patriot News and Penn Live, getting us started as we talk about the budget impasse in Pennsylvania. We'll be talking with William Adolf, Republican state representative, and also Madeline, a Democratic state representative. In fact, she is waiting in the wings. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscone. Just a recap here. The budget stalemate between Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf and Republican legislators is in its second month. Wolf wants a new tax on natural gas drilling, as well as an increase in sales and personal income taxes. Republicans oppose increasing taxes. Instead, they're looking at privatizing liquor stores and controlling public employee pension costs. Joining us now is Madeline Dean, and she's Democratic state representative, elected in 2012 to represent Pennsylvania's 153rd legislative district. That's Abington and Upper Marion Townships, just outside of Philadelphia. She serves on the Appropriations, Judiciary, and Ethics Committee, and is the Democratic Vice Chair of the Finance Committee. And Madeline Dean, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Good morning, Marty. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Let me give that phone number to our listeners, and it's 1-888-477-9499. You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Madeline, what we heard from John Micek is that it's pretty quiet in Harrisburg. He said he doesn't feel this sense of urgency about the budget here in Pennsylvania. Do you?
No, I don't. And just to clarify, I represent Abington and Upper Dublin. Just to be
absolutely
clear to my
I'm
Upper
sorry.
Dublin
Our
folks.
Mistake.
Not at all. I do share what John had to say in terms of the lack of urgency, and it troubles me. I'm a legislator sitting back in my home district talking to other legislators, but I'm rank and file. I'm 3 years in. I'm not in on the conversations that have been going on. But I'm eager to have a budget that is responsible, that's adequate, that funds our schools. And so it's a very uncomfortable thing for me personally not to be in Harrisburg doing my job.
And I do want to pick up on some of the things that you would like to do. Do you support the fact that Governor Wolf vetoed the entire budget, not various line items that he might have disagreed with?
I do, because the budget that we passed, I did not vote for, but the budget that the majority party passed and the governor vetoed was just the same thing we've done for the four budgets I've been there for. It's what I call anemic budgeting. It left us with a structural deficit, one-time transfers that simply didn't recognize our actual expenditures and how we have to raise revenues. And much more importantly, it was anemic spending on education. That's what we have to reverse because this state has some sad distinctions. And my thought is, and I'm not alone in this, it's the way we have budgeted that have led us to be last in the nation in job growth, to have the greatest disparity between how we educate children who are poor versus children who are not poor. These are distinctions we don't want to have, and it's the anemic budgeting that we've been through in the four budgets I've been for, and I support the governor's veto.
How do you suggest increasing funding for education? The governor's called for a 5% severance tax on natural gas drilling. Do you favor that?
I do. In fact, from the time I got to the legislature just 3 years ago, I've been talking about a reasonable tax on shale gas. It doesn't make any sense to me, and I think the majority of Pennsylvanians doesn't think it makes sense, that we subsidize the gas drilling industry. You know, our Constitution, one of the smartest sections of our Constitution, protects our natural estate and those resources to us. So for us to be giving away our natural resources and not taking a reasonable severance tax makes no sense. I have legislation last two sessions that were similar to the governor's, about a 5% tax on shale gas. And just to put that in perspective, drillers last year took $10 billion worth of value from our precious resource. We're sitting on the world's largest deposit. So it's reasonable that the drillers should pay their fair share, and that funding could go to education.
What about privatizing liquor sales in Pennsylvania? That's something that Republican governors have wanted, and also members of the legislature who are Republicans today.
You know what? The liquor system is a popular, unpopular topic. And yet what I have thought all along, and I'm a member of the Appropriations Committee, so I've had a chance to sit with members of the Liquor Control Board. What I've thought all along is it is an extraordinarily valuable asset to Pennsylvania. It has $2.2 billion in sales just last year. That's $500 million in revenues, taxes, and interest and fees. But on top of that is $100 million in profit each year. We've had chances, many, many chances in the legislature to modernize and maximize profits and value. I think more of as a business. It's not at its full capacity and full value. The majority party has blocked any attempts to modernize, saying it needs to be broken apart completely. My biggest complaint with the legislation for the sale of the liquor stores is that it grossly undervalues the asset. As I said, an asset that's $2.2 billion in revenues. The estimates for the legislation we saw were that we would get about $200 million one time. It's a fire sale of an extraordinarily valuable asset. It would be irresponsible to do that.
Let me ask you about some other taxes, and then we have some callers that want to join our conversation.
Great.
The governor's called for increasing the income tax. You have done that as well. He also calls for an increase in the sales tax. You actually call for a decrease in the sales tax. Walk us through your idea.
Well, Marty, you know what? I thought with this time in the summer to think and rethink what's going on and what is failing to go on, I thought, let's think differently. I do think that our personal income tax is one of the lowest for taxing states in the nation, and the governor supported a smaller increase to that from 3.07 to 3.7. I thought if we take it just the full point, that would be $4 billion in revenue coming into the state. But I thought we need to have something for everybody, and to be a little more progressive in our taxation mix, let's try decreasing the sales tax, something a lot of people could brag about. If we could take our sales tax from 6% to 5%, Pennsylvanians would be saving $1.6 billion a year that I argue they would plow back into our economy with greater purchasing. I just think that might be a healthier, much more progressive way of increasing the revenues needed to fix our deficit and fund our schools, but also give people tax breaks.
Let me quickly reintroduce you. That's Madeline Dean, and she's a Democratic state representative elected in 2012 representing Pennsylvania's 153rd legislative district. That includes Abington and Upper Dublin townships. And again, she serves on the Appropriations, Judiciary, and Ethics Committees and is the Democratic vice chair of the Finance Committee and the second of three guests in this hour of Radio Times talking about how to get past this impasse related to the budget here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. We've got a bunch of people that want to talk to us at 1-888-477-9499. Let me get Bob from Center City, Philadelphia. Bob, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning. Just the simple answer might be just to compromise. Why don't you just compromise, allow the privatization of the liquor stores, and then also don't budge on the public pensions. Just that's it. So we won't budge on the public pensions, and we'll privatize. It seems like a simple solution. You're only making $100 million profit off the state stores. That's not a lot of profit you're missing out on. If you put in your progressive reducing the state tax from 6 to 5, I think that would be a great hybrid also to the solution. But just compromise, maybe bring the tax down to 5%, and I think you got a great solution.
What do you think, Madeline Dean?
Well, I think Bob is on to something, and I wish the leaders would listen to him. Compromise is going to be what it takes. And that's why I crafted this idea of a budget that would raise adequate revenues through personal income tax and give people a break on sales tax. In terms of the liquor system, to just let it go is I think, irresponsible on the legislature's part. $100 million in revenues is serious money. For example, you know, if we were in the business world, you would use some multiple of earnings to value the liquor system. In appropriations hearings, I asked who has done an appraisal of the value of this asset. And truth be told, no one. If you were to sell your home, you wouldn't just go out and say, I don't know what to put it listed for. You would get a professional appraisal of the value. And so that's my concern with just a simple, okay, let's sell off the liquor store, let's break it up. We need to know professionally what it's worth and how we capture that value.
But it sounds like you're saying that the state can get more money out of liquor sales anyway.
It absolutely can. We know that through modernization, and what modernization means is convenience for consumers, and that's what people want. The estimate is about $180 million more a year on top of those numbers I just told you about, all those positive numbers we could get by having Sunday store hours, delivery at home, flexible pricing that the Liquor Control Board wants. People need to remember that as much as we love to hate our liquor stores and the PLCB, the sale of wine and spirits completely funds that operation. As I said, it's a very valuable asset. Any business person would not want to give it away the way it has been proposed.
There have been some ad wars over the budget in Pennsylvania, pretty unusual. And I do want to play an ad that's paid for by Citizens to Protect Pennsylvania Jobs, and that's an offshoot of the Pennsylvania Chamber of Commerce. Let's give it a listen.
Pennsylvania's natural gas industry is getting our economy moving. It's working for families and small businesses. But politicians in Harrisburg are trying to raise taxes on our natural gas industry. It could cost tens of thousands of jobs and billions in job-creating investments here. It could be the highest energy tax in the country. Even worse, the money would be sent to Harrisburg instead of critical local projects. Let's save jobs. Don't raise taxes on Pennsylvania-made energy.
What's your response to that? I'm sure you've seen that on television.
I have. And sadly, it's filled with inaccuracies. It is not going to kill jobs. It's not going to send the industry to other places. As I said, we sit on the largest natural gas deposit in the world. It's the Saudi Arabia of gas, as some people like to call it. The other thing that is not true about that, and particularly for the legislation I proposed leaving the so-called impact fee in place. That's the monies that go to the local communities directly affected by gas drilling. So we could drill and tax, take an extraction tax of about 3+% and not harm the local communities. And the final thing is that it's incorrect to say that we would be the highest taxing state. All of the, our neighboring states who tax, who extract gas tax at that rate or even more. If you take a look at Alaska and Texas, they tax at a far higher rate. So, you know, and it's kind of silly to say the drillers will leave. Where are they going to go? To a state that already taxes it? I don't think so.
But if you keep the impact fee in place and you have a severance tax, how much would that be overall tax rate-wise?
Overall, about a 5.5 somewhere in there, yeah. Percent tax rate. In a full year, it would get somewhere close to $1 billion in revenues. And the drillers absolutely expected to come here to do business and that tax would be part of the cost of doing business. We've chosen to subsidize them, and I suggest people take a look at the contributions, the campaign contributions that probably are protecting the gas industry.
Let me see what Joshua from Society Hill here in Philadelphia has to say. Joshua, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I have a question regarding the sale of the liquor stores, and I'm just wondering, you know, if instead of whatever the amount would be, $200 million, if instead, you know, the state were to hire an investment bank to run, you know, a competitive auction process where you're going to get the most money for taxpayers, kind of at one point, would that be something you'd be in favor of? I mean, I guarantee you'd be able to get pretty good interest of an equity from you know, out-of-state buyers, from in-state buyers, and if that would be something you would be in favor of.
To sell the liquor store system, but to sell it at a good profit, Joshua?
Yeah, I mean, to run a competitive auction process with an investment bank where you're going to get the market value of it rather than, you know, whatever it is. You're kind of guessing at the value.
I hear you. Joshua, thanks for the call to Radio Times. Madeline Dean?
I think you're saying something similar to what I said, and so I thank you for that suggestion, Joshua. As I said, I think the liquor system is an asset that currently operates in an undervalued way. If we were to have the modernization, I think we would pump this asset up to its greatest potential. And then at that point, if we figured out what that value is, whether it is some multiplier of earnings or it is something to do with annual revenues, if we could maximize the profit for the sale of that asset, then that would be an argument that I'd listen to.
Okay.
But at this point, you're just divesting it because ideologically we don't want to be involved in it and we don't like having the employees. That doesn't interest me at all. Actually knowing what the value is what should happen. And as I said, number one, we should first modernize, make sure we maximize the value of the asset.
Let me see what Harry from Bucks County has to say. Harry, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Just real quick point. I am a small business owner paying about close to 40% in income tax. So I definitely am not in favor of that being increased. I would be in favor of, you know, paying a little bit more sales tax if I'm not putting out as much money, you know, in my income every month, every year. I wouldn't be, you know, opposed to paying a little bit more for the product and the things that I choose to buy. Having said that, is anyone talking about the legalization of marijuana coming into play with bringing revenue and income? I mean, I've read some things about what's going on out in Colorado, and there's a lot of money being generated. You know, is anybody in Pennsylvania talking about this for a way to make this work for us?
Harry, thanks for the call to Radio Times. Madeline Dean, anyone in Harrisburg talking about legalizing marijuana and using the revenues to help defray some of these costs?
I'm sure Senator Dalen Leach is.
Yes, I was thinking of him, actually.
And some others. And so, Harry, I thank you, and I'm glad you're a small business owner. And it's interesting to hear the mix of taxes that you'd be in favor of. To explain why I was suggesting this idea of reducing the sales tax, as I said, it would return money or keep money in the pockets of Pennsylvanians. And I think it's something they could be very excited about because it would give them then greater buying power. And what I believe and what experts say is sales tax is one of the most regressive taxes that we have, because what happens is It exempts saved income, and so it's only applied to spent income, and so the people who are poorest pay the greatest percentage of taxes. That's why I thought it would be really an engine, perhaps, for lower-income and middle-income folks. And I think the severance is the greater engine than marijuana legalization, and it's the logical one, and I argue it's the constitutional one, where we should find the revenues to educate our kids. Number one, if you know nothing else about me, what I want to do is make sure we excellently educate all our children.
About a minute before we have to say goodbye to you, is there bad blood over these negotiations?
I don't think there really is. I think Misak had it correct. There are a lot of really good people in this legislature. And what I think the answer is going to be is something that we're also seeing on the national level. We're going to have to compromise. We can't continue to let far-right Republicans rule the day. The Republican caucus is going to have to find center-right Republicans, like the person you're having on next, my colleague Bill Adolf, and Majority Leader Reid. They're going to have to lead the day and lead their caucus to compromise that gives something to everybody, a win on one side, a win on another, so everybody can go home and say, we did the right thing, we closed the budget deficit, we're educating our kids better, and here's something I can come home and brag about. That's what it's going to take. It's very much like what we see down in D.C.
Well, that's a perfect segue into our third guest, William Adolf. Madeline Dean, thank you so much for joining us today in Radio Times.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Democratic State Representative, she represents Pennsylvania's 153rd Legislative District. And yes, William Adolf, waiting in the wings, Republican State Representative, with his ideas about how to deal with the budget impasse in Pennsylvania. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen, and we've been talking about the fact that Pennsylvania still does not have a budget. More than a month past the start of the fiscal year, Governor Wolf wants a severance tax on natural gas extraction with money to be used for education. He's also asked for a reduction in property taxes, an increase in sales and income tax. And Governor Wolf did veto the entire budget passed by the General Assembly. That included liquor store privatization, changes to public pensions. And joining us now is William Adolf. He's Republican state representative, serving his 14th term, representing Delaware County's 165th legislative district, including parts of Marple, Radnor, and all of Springfield and the borough of Morton. He's also majority chair of the House Appropriations Committee, where he serves as the primary budget negotiator for the House Republican Caucus. And William Adolf, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Marty, nice to be here.
And to our listeners, lines open at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. You probably heard Madeline Dean saying that you and a couple of other Republicans can fix this problem of this impasse and bring people together. Do you think you can do that?
Well, I think she gives me a little bit more credit than I deserve. But, you know, there's a some major differences in the tax proposals. And, you know, Marty, the devil's in the details. And every time that I've talked to the governor, you know, the governor insists on his entire package. And to accept his entire package, when you start, you know, talking about a particular issue, the governor will automatically say, you have to accept my whole package.
Take it or leave it? I mean, take it or leave it? Is that what he's saying to you?
Well, when you say, well, you know, taxes on professional services, okay, it's a 6.6% a tax on all professional services that are not these are not taxes that the professionals pay. These are taxes that the public pays to get those professional services that they need, such as nursing homes, daycare services, getting your hair cut, getting your tax return prepared, getting a will prepared by an attorney, architect fees. These professional services, people, Pennsylvanians, never paid sales tax on.
And this is something
so this
the governor...
is a huge expansion of sales tax. Not only a increase from 6% to 6.6%, but a increase to other services, IT expenses, meal plans in colleges. So
that's a non-starter? Is that a non-starter for you and other Republicans then?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely it is. I mean, and when you're in southeast Pennsylvania, all I see is ads, come to Delaware. Come to Delaware. You know, buy your appliances. You know, the internet sales. You know, so, I mean, in Delaware County, we just had the Granite Run Mall close its doors. It's been open for 30 years.
Are you suggesting, though, that there should be taxes on internet sales? I mean, do you see that as a way out?
My suggestion is that what has happened is that if you start sales tax on professional services, right, as our retailers are losing business to the state of Delaware, okay, now you're going to see our professionals losing business to out of state.
Okay, I hear you. And let me ask you about, yes, indeed, and I think you made a very cogent argument there, but let me ask you about the severance tax. Pennsylvania is the only state with natural gas that doesn't have a severance tax. The governor talks about 5%. Our guests earlier talked about 3 to 4%. Why shouldn't there be a severance tax in Pennsylvania?
Okay, Marty, I think you have to first acknowledge that we are now collecting over $250 million from the natural gas industry, and it's called a local impact fee.
Right.
Now, I have no problem. Say I voted for it. Local impact tax. Okay. Still a three-letter word. Fee.
Tax.
Okay. The industry's still paying it. It was passed during the Corbett administration. And it has benefited those areas, those counties where the drilling is taking place, both for environmental purposes and for infrastructure purposes. And then, for example, it's then distributed to the other counties. Delaware County, for example, receives about $1 million. Mm-hmm. Not an awful lot of money, but the counties that where the impact's taking place, that industry is paying $225 million, okay? And that is guaranteed. That is guaranteed no matter what the price of gas is.
But if you had a 3 or 4, maybe even a 5% severance tax on natural gas drilling, and, you know, other natural gas states like Texas has a severance tax, I mean, why shouldn't Pennsylvania do the same?
Okay, all right. Okay, Marty, first of all, my background is taxation, okay? And the big difference is between Texas and Pennsylvania. Texas does not have a state income tax. Texas does not have a corporate net income tax. Texas does not have a capital stock tax. All businesses in Pennsylvania, including the natural gas industry, are paying those taxes. They rely on the severance tax as their main source of revenue. Okay, we do not, because we have state income taxes, we have sales taxes, we have corporate net income tax, we have capital stock and franchise tax. So when you have to take a look at the whole tax structure, and that's what we did when we passed a local impact fee, okay, you know, 5-6 years ago, which I supported. The other thing is that, you know, the price of gas has significantly decreased, almost by two-thirds, since Governor Wolf started campaigning that he could generate $1 billion for education. The devil's in the details. If you read his bill, a lot of that money goes to the environment, okay, alternative energy sources, okay, and some infrastructure. So the actual bill does not say all this money's going to education. And the fact that in the fiscal year that we're working on, okay, after paying the $25 million to the counties that are receiving the local impact fee. There's only about $55 million left, not $1 billion. Only $55 million. The following year, after paying the local impact fee, based upon current prices, this is all market-driven, but based upon the current market, and I have I have the current market value right here, it's 113. So just to concentrate, you know, the budget on what we should tax, okay, and not what the spend number is doing it backwards.
Well, let me ask,
if you can convince me that we need almost $34 billion in spending, okay, which is a 16% increase over last year's budget, then I can work with you.
Well, and, okay? You know, it's not, as you well know, it's not my budget. It's the governor's budget.
Right.
But let
right.
me ask you.
I
appreciate what you're saying, and I do have a lot of people that want to join the conversation. But let me just ask you, because Pennsylvania ranks 45th when it comes to funding for public education. Do you think that that money should be increased? And if you do, how?
Well, we just finished a year-long study on trying to calculate a new basic education funding formula, which I think was all long overdue. And we have such diversity in Pennsylvania, Marty, and, just in my own district, I mean, the different communities' per capita incomes vary tremendously. And trying to find a formula that is fair and adequate distribution for school funding is a difficult one.
Sure.
Is a very difficult one. And the one thing that the Governor Wolf's proposal does is it distributes to residents of only 93 school districts property tax, total property tax relief. And the areas that I live and the areas that Representative Dean represents receive little tax relief. I think there's a net increase in PIT and sales tax, even netting out the property tax reduction, okay, for our areas. And, you know, we are already paying the bulk of the state taxes for other school districts statewide. And this would be just an unbelievable, in my opinion, inequitable way to distribute taxpayers' hard-earned money.
Well, and what I hear you saying is that there needs to be some kind of formula. I mean, it might be a complicated formula, but that going forward might be a way to more equitably figure out how to distribute money.
No question about
education.
It really is, because obviously there are certain areas that they don't have the per capita income that other areas have.
Right.
The three school districts that I represent receive anywhere between 15% to 18% of the total funding from the state. Most of it is we rely on local property taxes, local school boards. Most taxpayers that I talk to rather have local boards calculating their budgets rather than at the state level. And but it's very difficult because not all school districts in Delaware County, they need state help.
Sure,
and we certainly understand that, and that's why the new commission, which Governor Wolf had representatives on, just signed it. And we used the new funding in our budget, the new $300 million that we increased education in our proposal. We put that new basic education funding formula to use in the basic education funding increase.
And I got to jump in here because we do have a lot of people that want to join us, including looks like Connie from Doylestown. Connie, go ahead. Sure. You're on Radio Times.
Hi.
Hi there.
We sent these people there to Harrisburg to govern, and we need them to govern by passing a budget, and we didn't tell them that would be an easy job. So sure, it's a difficult job, but a severance tax should have been passed years ago. But Governor Corbett had, he was in the pocket of the oil and gas industry. Of course, there was no severance tax passed. There should be one. There's every argument for passing the severance tax. Also, increase the income tax. We're at a low level. Income tax can be raised. Sell the privatize the liquor stores. Why shouldn't I be able to get a case of wine from California have it sent to me? It's no, because it's not possible in the state, because we're so backwards in the state. We send them there to govern. They get all the big bucks. They get the per diems. They get the cars. Let them govern and compromise and pass the darn budget.
Okay, Connie, I hear you. And William Adolph, I'm sure that you have heard that as well. Let me get another caller on just before, and then I'll give you a chance to comment. Excuse me, this is Walter from West Philadelphia. Hi, Walter. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Good morning. I'll be quick. So far, I've heard an awful lot about raising taxes and expansion. We've seen fees increases. We've seen gas tax increases. We've seen rises in turnpike tolls. I've not heard one thing about cutting anything.
Hmm.
Also, 10 years ago, the last Democratic governor sold us that his great idea was casino gambling. Where happened to all that money?
Well, those are two important questions. We probably won't be able to deal with them. But let me give William Adolph a chance to respond. What we heard from Connie was, sell the liquor stores, raise the severance tax, and essentially do your job.
Yeah. That's the issue. I mean, we sent a privatization bill to the governor, and he vetoed. Okay, so, and that provided $220 million over the next 10 years. I was listening to Representative Dean, and she said it was a one-time cash benefit, but no, it's not. It's leasing over a 10-year period. And I heard the other gentleman talk about auctions. I remember during the Ridge administration, that was an issue that we tried to do, and I agree with him 100%. I don't believe Pennsylvania should be in the business. Connie talked about the inconvenience and so forth. You got to go to two or three places in order to get a six-pack of beer or a bottle of wine or a bottle of liquor as compared to a case of beer. I mean, it's really archaic, and it's only us in the state of Utah. So Connie's correct. If we would have been able to get the liquor privatization, that would have been $220 million for the next 10 years, okay, that we wouldn't have to raise people's taxes. So you have to agree on a spend number, and that's the other thing, Marty, I like to talk about.
Well, I hate to do this, only but we are out of time, and
I can't believe that.
It goes very quickly, and I do appreciate you joining us today in Radio Times.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. That's William Adolph, a Republican state representative, represents the 165th legislative district here in Pennsylvania, majority chairman of the House Appropriations Committee. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes. You can find out much more about the program, including how to download a podcast of the show. Find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and I see lots of comments here on the two screens that are staring at me. I'm Marty Moscowen. Thanks for joining us in this first hour of Radio Times. Do stick around. We got hour two right up.